people responsible for sacking Ryan have been sacked.
And that's a great way to start the episode.
Two people will get it, and the rest of the rest of the listeners to this podcast will stare blankly. And I'm being ambitious, assuming two people watch it.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
Route 616, your home for all things Marvel main continuity.
Or Monty Python, as the case may be.
That's right.
We are here with episode 76 of the podcast. Pretty interesting lineup of comics today with a Daredevil, a Sergeant Fury, and then Iron Man to close this out. But before that, I'm sure we'll talk about some nonsense that isn't comics.
I'm a little disappointed Moira isn't here for this, but I should be able to get a good reaction anyway from Dan. They're making a terrible Borderlands movie.
I've seen the trailer.
I saw that a few weeks ago. I forgot to send it in the group.
I know they didn't understand the character of Tiny Tina.
Oh, fuck no. And I mean, they... Cate Blanchett, Kevin Hart. I mean, who was casting
Cate Blanchett
this?
Seemed good, but Kevin Hart seemed horrible.
Cate Blanchett's brilliant, but she's the wrong choice for that particular character. But Kevin Hart?
He seemed horrible.
Well, he's horrible in everything anyway, but this was...
Yeah, but especially for Roland.
Miscast in the biggest friggin' way. And as much as I love Jack Black, having him voice Claptrap, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, Claptrap seemed really wrong, too. Like, he's supposed to be kind of pathetic, and in this, he was just annoying.
Yeah, well, he's kind of like Ryan in this, you know, just completely out of place with nothing to contribute.
Tries really hard.
Tries very, very hard. But to be honest, I do think casting Ariana Greenblatt to play Tiny Tina is a good choice, but they just...
It's the script.
Yeah, they don't seem to understand her at all.
She's
just
generic, obnoxious teenager, as opposed to having the gremlin energy that Tina needs.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought just from the promo art, I saw that it looked kind of not good.
I've seen it described as basically Guardians of the Borderlands with none of the heart of Guardians of the Galaxy and none of the humor of Borderlands.
Yeah, damn, that's fair. That's fair.
I've also seen it theorized that it was a generic movie script they got that they just slapped the Borderlands IP onto and changed like four things.
It looks that way, to be completely honest. It just feels like whoever was involved in the creative process and the casting and the script has never seen the game at all.
Yeah, like, they have no idea. It's all them driving around in a car, like in some sort of death race type thing.
Yeah, there's that too.
Which doesn't feel very Borderlands. I mean, I know you get the scooter that you drive around between missions in, but that's not really the core of the game.
No. And Tiny Tina's role... You know, in the game,
it's the core to my survival.
Ryan, you've met Moira. You know,
no,
maybe once or twice. Yeah, Tiny Tina. Right, but yeah, nothing about it seemed right. It just seemed so off. It was like watching a Rob Zombie movie. When he was remaking something, it just didn't seem right.
I suspect I'll see a very disappointed and broken Moira whenever that comes out into this scene.
More than likely, yeah.
Ryan's just catching strays over here like he's Claptrap emptying his bullet cache.
There you go.
So much Borderlands talk and no Moira does feel around, doesn't it?
That is true.
But I knew as soon as I saw that preview that I had to bring this up because I knew she was pissed and probably has already complained to Dan about it.
Well, the other thing being, of course, that Acehole here is desperately attempting to avoid talking about football. Their match.
I don't know what you're talking about. We beat Nottingham Forest fair and square. We're doing fine. Fine.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay, we'll find out about that in the 15th, will we? You're going to be playing what's left of my team, if I have anybody left to field.
Oh, don't worry about it. My disappointment's coming much sooner than that.
Oh, that's right. You play Man City.
tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. I feel a little Mel Brooks coming along.
Bloodletting. We have City, we have you twice, and we still have Arsenal this season. It's going to be a rough ride into the finish.
Yep. It's going to be... Well, you don't have
much
to worry
like
about
this
us.
Podcast.
For God's sakes, we're literally playing half our academy is on the field.
And you're not losing matches.
Yeah, Jaden Danz played 34 minutes of football, won a bloody cup.
Yeah. Right. I mean...
Played the next game and scored 2 goals.
Maybe if we were playing our academy, we'd have a chance against you.
Maybe.
The problem is we're playing our starters.
Well, no, but the thing is, 2 years ago, Jaden Danz was a ball boy.
Yeah, I know.
In Liverpool. He was the ball boy. Right. On the side of the field, you know, grabbing the balls and throwing them back onto the field. He just scored 2 goals.
I know. Yeah. I watched the highlights.
Against Southampton.
Liverpool FC inspiring the youth.
I mean, to be fair, it was against Southampton.
Yeah, but I mean...
Because you did have the weakest FA Cup challengers.
Yes.
We both actually had Premier League teams. You had Southampton.
You know, admittedly, Southampton doesn't have $1 billion, you know, fucking payroll for players.
They're a good team for their level, but they're not quite a Premier League team.
Not anymore, no. Not now. But, yeah, and we had no business beating friggin' Chelsea anyway.
The Chelsea win was the one that surprised me. I knew you were going to beat Southampton, even playing academy players.
Yeah, but I just... I'm in shock we beat Chelsea. Just in shock.
Well, if we're really lucky, your luck will run out on the 15th.
I think we paid up until the 16th.
Fuck.
Just saying.
I don't care if you beat us 7-0 again in the Premier League. At least let us get a cup.
Hey, we needed at least one cup this year because there's no way we're going to hold on to the lead in the Premier League. Not without our core of number one players. Just not going to happen. No matter how hard these kids are playing.
I think you might be able to because you've got a pretty easy coast in.
No, we don't. Have you seen our upcoming schedule?
I thought you only had like one of the top clubs left.
We got to play Man City coming up.
Yeah, but I think didn't you already play like Arsenal and Tottenham this half of the season?
Our upcoming games. Ryan, be entertaining for 30 seconds while I find this out.
That's asking a lot.
I wish I had the intermission music from 90 Python queued up on my phone.
Okay.
You've got Forest tomorrow.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got... Oh, good Lord. Oh, that's been postponed. Yeah, we've got Forest tomorrow. Then Sparta
City,
Praha in Europe.
Everton,
Man
which
City,
are pretty weak. Brighton.
Everton. Man,
Sheffield.
Man U. Then Man U again on the 7th.
Yeah, that's the league one. I'm looking at league matches.
Oh, okay.
Then Palace. Fulham, West Ham. Oh, Fulham's... you do have Tottenham, but that's May 4th. You should have some of your club back by then.
Yeah, but, I mean, we're playing Fulham, man. That's going to be hard. You know how good they are. They're so good, though. West Ham, Tottenham, Aston Villa. And then our very last match of the season is the Wolverhampton Wanderers. Never heard of them.
But yeah, it's mostly bottom half teams. We're amongst the best you have left to face, and we're realistically in 9th place team this year.
Yeah. Oh, our Everton match is postponed, so. Yeah. So Sparta Praha.
Yeah, you've got some tough stuff in Europe, but I was looking at just the Premier League matches. And...
Yeah, well, I think we actually might stand a chance of winning the Europa Cup. Right. Yeah, that's
very
be...
possible because really you were too good to be in the Europa Cup coming in.
It feels like it. I mean, that's where we got placed because we had such a shit season last year.
Yeah.
You know, your mockery was, you know, needed last year. This year, well...
Yeah, I mean, this year, I'm honestly hoping we can make the Europe Conference Cup.
Oh, that's right. You think you're going to make it into the Europa League?
No, not the Europa League.
The European Conference.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't think we're making the Europa League because that requires more than just us playing good. That needs people above us to play bad.
Yeah, that's like... You know,
that's why I said earlier, I'm not worried about gaining positions. I just don't want to lose any because I don't think we can gain positions with what's left.
Yeah. Well, you have as much chance of gaining positions as Rob Zombie does of winning an Oscar.
I know, director. That's the problem.
Right? So.
Underappreciated genius in that. Halloween 2.
Oh, I know, right? Just it robbed. It absolutely robbed. Blatant thievery. What?
Come on,
Ryan, you must have something to say about this.
No, not really.
No, not really? Well, in other amusing news, apparently, I need to watch Pokemon Concierge. Moira told me last night I need to watch it.
I don't know what that is, but that sounds interesting.
It's a new Netflix series or something. So, but I don't actually watch
Pokemon shows and movies. I just play the games and like cards.
Okay.
I've never been a fan of the show or anything around.
Detective Pikachu.
Oh, yeah, I guess I like that.
That was okay.
It's a stop-motion anime. That actually could be kind of cool just to see how they do it.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer, and it looks really good. Moira loved it. Absolutely loved it. So... get a chance, watch the trailer.
Keep that in mind. Going back to casts and talk, they revealed the cast of Superman Legacy, which has apparently been retitled just to Superman now.
Hmm.
Is that the new animated series?
No, it's the James Gunn DCU movie, the new universe movie.
Yeah.
That they're trying to do phases for, like the MCU.
Oh, lovely. Oh, yeah, the animated series is My Adventures with Superman. The very anime-looking one.
Yeah.
I've heard that show's actually good.
Probably.
Not a clue. I haven't actually watched any of it, so...
It's got 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I just Googled it to see what the name of it was, since I was clearly not remembering.
Yeah. And we know how accurate Rotten Tomatoes is.
Yeah, but it's the best we got for judging it.
Yeah,
other than actually watching it myself, which is kind of hard to do in the middle of recording a podcast.
Yeah, but I've lost all respect for Rotten Tomatoes ever since their scandals broke on how they were, you know, fucking over the ratings.
Yeah, problem is Metacritic does the same sort of stuff.
Yes. Yeah, there's no honest, honest ratings left on Rotten Tomatoes anymore. So I just ignore it completely.
That's why everything.
Yeah, it's got no credibility at all now.
Everything should be left subjective.
Well, that's the thing with Rotten Tomatoes. There is no subjective at all. No, they're literally hiding ratings to bump up the credit scores on certain movies. You know, you have to actually go through a process of clicking on certain things to find out what the real ratings are for different films and shows. So, but having said all that, while we're all sitting here wasting time waiting for season 2 of Velma to arrive, Shall we get on with things?
Sure.
Sure.
We're opening with something that makes season two of Velma seem good.
That's too right. Marvel Comics.
The Superman cast isn't that interesting anyway.
Oh, yeah, we never actually talked about it. We got completely derailed.
Yeah, we did.
What was the point you were actually going to make, Ryan?
Oh, sorry, Ryan.
It doesn't really matter. I don't know half the names anyway. I was just going to read through some of the cast.
Oh.
David Cornsweet is playing Clark Kent's Les Shooting Man.
No clue who that is.
Me neither. Millie Alcock is playing Kara Sorrell, the Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
One of the bigger names that I actually know, Nathan Fillion, is apparently playing Guy Gardner, which is very interesting.
Okay, now I want to see this, because Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner sounds awesome.
Isabella Merced is playing Hawkgirl.
Nicholas Holt... is this just like a full Justice League movie that they're calling Superman?
Halfway. Seems like James Gunn's full on trying to build a universe here. We've got Nicholas Holt, one of the only other people I know in this movie, as Lex Luthor, so that could actually be pretty good.
Depending. No. Nicholas Holt's playing Lex Luthor?
Apparently Lex Luthor. That might not be the best casting, but I know he's a good actor, so who knows?
He's a great actor, but no.
They never get Lex Luthor right, though, pretty much, so. Rachel Brosnahan is Lois Lane. We have maybe Jimmy Olsen watch. We get some character development for once. We got a Skylar DeSando playing him. I don't know who that is, but maybe they'll build the side characters for once in these movies. Anthony Carrigan is Rex Mason, who would be... I know that character. What's the character's name? Oh, man.
Rex Mason?
Yeah, it's Absorbing Man. Is that the guy's name? DC Rex Mason. I don't remember. That would be Metamorpho. Metamorpho. That's it.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Metamorpho. I knew Metamorpho. Me too. He's a cool character. It's a fun character. Mr. Terrific is played by Edie Gathegi. I don't know how to say the last name.
Okay.
Nepper brother Sean Gunn is playing Maxwell Lord.
Okay.
Didn't Maxwell Lord have a live action adaptation already with Wonder Woman or something? Or am I tripping? Sarah Sampaio is playing Eve Tessmacher, who sounds like a wrestler. I don't know what that character is. Angela Spica is...
You're thinking of Brooke Tessmacher.
Yeah, I know. I'm combining names here. Maria Gabriela de Faria is playing Angela Spica, who I know that name too, but don't remember. And then some character named
Engineer
Otis Terrence Rosemore.
Well, an interesting cast.
I don't recognize 90%
of them. I don't recognize a lot of them. I only recognize two of them.
A lot of people know who Millie Alcock is now.
People were excited about that casting online. Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a miscast.
Oh, yeah, Angela Spica. It's the Wildcats universe.
But, I mean, Millie Alcock is a very good actress, at least. So
that's cool that they're doing that character. Okay, I'm
context
a little more excited.
Context.
That's Angela Spica. That's a cool character.
We need a Gen 13 movie. Live action. We can get Karen Gillan to play Fairchild.
Dan's wet dream coming to life.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I'd be there to watch that, I'll tell you.
Dan's going to the cinema 5 different times for that movie.
Why do you have Kleenex? Like... Well, I might cry, you know.
That better leave the whole box, actually. It looks like they learned nothing from the last DC Extended Universe attempt, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
This should just be a Superman movie.
It should, but they keep trying to cram as much crap in it as they can every time.
I know, that's what they didn't learn. Because the MCU worked because you just got Iron Man. You just got Captain America. You just got Thor. You built up the core characters with their own solo movies first. Then you lumped them together when people already knew who they were. Here they're jamming everyone into it.
Yeah, they tried it with the Universal Dark Universe.
Yeah.
Worlds too, and that was just a horrifying failure.
Well, they're doing it backwards because no one cares about any of these characters because they don't know who they are yet.
When they were first putting it together, I thought that's what it was supposed to be. I'm pretty sure that was the whole direction was. We're going to focus on Superman and his family and his like core cast of characters. But it seems like they want to build the universe
Because then when
now.
Superman ends up in another movie, people would care.
Yeah. That is true.
I mean, assuming the Superman movie is good.
The only saving grace is maybe is that it still is James Gunn's direction, so hopefully this is one of his good directions.
Good direction doesn't help a bad script, though.
That's true. Yeah. Well, he's writing it himself. This is the one he's doing himself.
We will see.
Good direction doesn't help a bad script, though.
Yeah.
I don't think James Gunn is a great writer.
True. It's hard to say. I don't. He's had hit or miss moments, so it's hard to know what's coming.
I think most of his hits have been stuff that was written by other people, and it just fell to him to direct it.
We will see.
Yeah, it could be good.
Next year in 2025.
Oh, I can't wait. Cannot
I mean, it's
wait.
Probably better than Madam Web.
I'm still holding out until I see that one.
I want to see it, but I have not heard anything good about it.
No, nor have I, but
I kind of want to see it just because of how comically harsh the reviews have been. I went from completely not caring to wanting to see it just because there's no way it's as much of a train wreck as people are advertising it as.
Well, my experience has been there's been a couple of them that were just horrifyingly trashed by the critics, only to watch the film and be actually reasonably entertained. You know, I can see that it's not a great film, but it was nowhere near as bad as they said it was.
Oh, I've seen trailers for it. It's not going to be great.
No. And I don't think any of us thought it would be great. But, I mean, I didn't expect the New Mutants to be great. And
I don't expect any Sony Spider-Man related character movie to be great. Sony doesn't know what they're fucking doing anytime. Venom wasn't great. Venom was fun and good enough.
Yeah, I know it wasn't great, but it was good.
It was good enough.
It was a good bad movie, not a good movie.
I enjoyed it.
I love Venom, the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was I had a blast at it, but it is not a great movie.
The second one was just so horrible.
The second one was horrible.
Oh, it was Ghost Rider level bad.
It was Ghost Rider 2 level bad.
Yes.
Where I believe that no one involved in the film, including the actors who played the same character in both parts, had ever seen the first one or understood anything it did.
Yeah, speaking
which pains me to say about Tom Hardy, because he's generally quite good.
Oh, he is. But we now have to question, are they going to redo Ghost Rider? Because
I heard rumors they were going to try to bring Ricky Reyes into the MCU.
Well, he was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, but I mean, like, into the actual movie side of things.
Yeah, apparently who's playing Sue Storm in the new Fantastic Four?
Oh, let's pull that up, since that was something I was going to talk about last week.
Who is it? I heard the name, but I can't remember.
I'm pulling it up one moment. Four cast. That's not the right one. Let's go for 20. I think this is released next year, 2025.
Maybe.
We've got Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm.
Vanessa Kirby. Yeah.
Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm. Ebon Moss Bacharach. I don't know how to say the name. Ben Grimm. And Pedro Pascal, the big boy himself, is Reed Richards.
Yeah.
Something to make Reed Richards interesting.
We'll see how that plays out. I don't see it succeeding, but okay.
I don't see Pedro Pascal as a good read.
No.
I think it can work, because I think I have faith in his abilities.
This is nothing about his acting abilities.
It depends how the character's
written.
He
just doesn't look like someone who should be Reed.
No, he doesn't.
Like, he's way too bulky.
Well, he's bulky, but he's also... It's completely out of... My problem with Pedro Pascal, I think he seems like a really great guy. I'm happy he succeeds. But he's kind of like Kevin Costner. He's got one character that he plays really well. And every other character he plays is the character he plays really well. Ever. He never plays anybody different. And I just... You know, it's that... Excuse me. It's that sort of that single tone character that he always plays. So I'm not holding out any hope. You know.
Apparently Margot Robbie's in it, but they aren't saying who she's playing.
Okay.
Well, the main film's supposed to be Galactus. And
oh, maybe she's Galactus.
I think they're doing Silver Surfer because it's Galactus.
Antonio
too.
Banderas.
Antonio Banderas is Galactus, yeah. And then I don't know if they revealed who Silver Surfer is yet. And then apparently they are going to have Doom show up near the end. And so they haven't cast him yet, is their big rumor.
Michael Keaton, probably. Yeah.
They wanted to get, they had somebody in mind they wanted to get, but we're trying to work around a schedule.
I oh, forget Chris who that Evans, was. Probably, yeah.
No.
Well, I know Ryan Reynolds is booked up, so it wouldn't be him.
I forget. I don't know. I don't remember. There was somebody specific they were going for, though.
We'll see.
We will. We will see. I'll be watching it.
I hold out hope
because this is proper MCU movie now and not a Fox shitter movie. So
no,
hopefully
I
they can get it right
for
once.
Yeah, I don't hold out any hope because
if this Fantastic Four is not good, then Fantastic Four is never going to be good.
No, and I don't think Fantastic Four will be good.
When has Fantastic Four been good?
Outside of some of the comics, never. Like,
yeah.
It's too dated a concept, honestly.
Yeah.
It reads like a comic from the 1960s.
I know, right? Weird, isn't it?
But I'm talking about modern Fantastic Four, Dan.
Yeah. Oh, I, there isn't enough money in the world to make me read a Fantastic Four comic. There's just not. You'd have to hold me down, keep my eyes pried open, and flash it in front of me while I screamed, "It's a sin."
And any time they tried to modernize it, they destroy what makes Fantastic Four Fantastic Four.
Mm. Yeah, even when they showed up in Marvel Zombies, it was just terrible. Just terrible. Right. Fantastic Four just doesn't work in the modern world.
No, it really doesn't.
Well, I think we shall get into the comics now.
Should we get into the comics?
Starting
is there any reason to, really?
Well, not really. The first one we're covering.
I'm pretty sure I can find some other pop culture stuff to talk about if we want to delay Daredevil more.
We can scramble pretty hard here, Ryan. Right, trust me. I'm pretty sure we can avoid this for hours.
I suppose we might as well push through and get Daredevil number 14 out of the way. This one
is
titled...
Do it.
This one's titled If This Be Justice. By the way, if you want to know what happened the last two Daredevils... I'm not telling you to go watch the last episode.
You don't care. Don't worry about it. Ignore it.
It was stupid and bad. There's what you need to know.
Rapidly onward.
Stan Lee writes this bad boy, of course. John and Reed the Siege is on Earth, the only redeeming factor to this story arc. Frank Giacola is on inks. John and Reed the Siege does the cover. Artie Simic does letters. January 1966, a 20-page story. And I will take this one because I hate myself, apparently. Continued from the last issue. Daredevil and Kazar. Daredevil and Kazar have been brought to England by the Plunderer, who seeks
Johnny
to use...
Depp. That's who needs to play Reed Richards.
Yes.
Boom. Problem solved. Let's go.
That would work.
Yeah. See, you thought we were going to let you get away with this, didn't you, Ryan? You thought you were going to get this comic done, but we can continue to distract you and completely ruin your narrative for hours to avoid dealing with this week's titles.
Oh, no, I'm fine with everything after this Daredevil.
Orlando Bloom could play, you know, Fireboy.
Why are you trying to make Fantastic Pirates of the Caribbean?
No, he could be like the character he plays in Dark Shadows. Or, you know, Reed Scissorhands, or something. Right?
I say fuck it. Let Pedro Pascal turn out to be
Michael
the maker.
Michael Keaton.
I mean, here's the thing. Fantastic Pirates of the Caribbean already exist. It's Our Flag Means Death.
I don't know what that is, so.
It's that BBC show about gay pirates.
Yeah.
It's great.
Have you not seen it? Oh my God, Ron, you need to see the show. Oh my God, you need to see the show. You also need to watch Dairy Girls. Trust me. Bill, are you familiar with Dairy Girls?
I've heard the name. I've never seen it.
Oh, go on YouTube, watch a couple of clips of it. Trust me.
Is there a killer clown in it?
What, Dairy Girls? Oh God! It's a story from a bunch of Irish schoolgirls, right?
Yeah, I got Catholic, where you're going with that.
Right, but there's a bunch of girls from an Irish, Catholic school, right? And the trouble they get into, and it is just guts, but splittingly funny. Sister Michael,
probably Catholic, trying to watch hilarious, over them. Especially since they hate it.
Oh, trust me, it's funny. Liam Neeson shows up in it. You name it, right? He plays a police chief trying to, figure out what's going on one night when the girls get a little carried away. Believe me, you need to see the show. It's so funny. If you can understand their accent.
That is a challenge with certain elements of British pop culture.
Well, this is Irish pop culture, right? We're talking a hardcore Irish, right? And it's funny. God, it's funny. It's up there with... Mr. Bean, stuff like that. It's just so crazy.
Anyway, well, I love Mr. Bean. So,
weren't we going to do comics this week?
I was going to mention something else that I'd consider it up there with it, but I can't bring myself to give Graham Linehan a shout out.
Because
fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck him. Fuck him all. I believe we used up all the time Ryan was going to use on Daredevil, so we should probably move on to the next title.
Sergeant Fury.
Ooh, yeah, Sergeant Fury time.
No, let's get this over with. Rip the Band-Aid off quick, Ryan.
Come on, do it fast.
Daredevil and Kayser have been brought to England by the Plunderer, who seeks to use his half-brother's half of the medallion of
metal. Oh, you know who should play the Plunderer?
We're not getting a Plunderer out of... We're not getting Plunderer before we get more Porcupine, I tell you what.
I don't even have a name. I just had to make that joke.
That's right. John Leguizamo could be a Porcupine.
Once he... Oh, my God. Wants to use the metal destroying ore to gain access to his family inheritance. They're in the struggle. Feepers, remember that guy? No? Okay. One of the Plunderers secretly wanting the medallion for himself, has called out asking for help and getting the devil. The police arrive and fire upon Daredevil and Kayser. Through much struggle, Daredevil is forced to retreat, Kayser is accused of Feeper's murder, and the Plunderer gets his brother's half of the medallion and uses it to free his prize, a chunk of metal destroying ore, which he dubs the Plunderer's Stone. The Plunderer then creates a powerful weapon from the ore and creates a new costume. Meanwhile, in the States, Karen and Foggy get a letter from Matt informing them that he's alive, because they thought he was dead this whole time, I forget that was acknowledged, and asked him to help in proving Kayser's innocence. They then plan to book a flight to England to meet him. Back in England, the Plunderer has gathered a new army of costume crooks to help him in his criminal deeds. Daredevil incapacitates one and steals his costume and secretly boards the Plunderer's submarine. They attack an early warning missile base in hopes of taking over it. However, Daredevil reveals himself and attacks the Plunderer. Meanwhile, Kazar is brought to court for murder charges, and as Foggy and Karen watch, Kazar goes crazy and attacks the courtroom and is subdued. Daredevil defeats the Plunderer and turns him over to the military, who then help out Daredevil by writing a letter to the judge of Kazar's murder trial, which helps clear Kazar of all charges. Additionally, the doctor says that he's going to be in normal health after having to be gassed to be controlled. Matt meets up with Foggy and Karen, who are happy to see him, although Matt has to sympathize for poor Kazar and wonder what will happen to the Jungle Lord now. There we go.
Foggy seems a little foggy.
3 issues. We got 3 issues on the fucking Plunderer.
Oh, I got a lot of issues with the Plunderer.
Me too. I got a lot of issues with Stan Lee too.
Oh, Stan Lee's got enough issues of his own, and he's dead.
True, he's very dead. Fuck, that was a 2-star comic. That was awful.
Barely.
Ooh,
yeah.
Wow.
I barely made it through that comic. No.
Oh, I fucking hated it. I hated it the first time. It was even worse the second.
Yeah. Okay, can we just ignore it and move on?
Sergeant Fury in the house.
We've been going 36 minutes now.
One thing I have to mention before we move on, because it is actually important.
Rowan Atkinson is Mr. Fantastic.
Plunderer's Stone is vibranium.
Ooh.
There. That's done. Just had to mention that. One fact.
You know, so, do you think they can make dildos out of vibranium?
Yeah, but you probably die if your phone buzzed in your pocket when you were using it.
Well, I don't plan to use it. I'm asking for a friend.
Your friend would probably die if their phone buzzed in their pocket when they were using it. It becomes like a porcupine quill. It just starts digging towards the center mass.
Well, that's made perfect dildo.
Not once it passes your spleen.
That's what she said. But anyway. Just wondering. We're supposed to be informative on this show, right?
This podcast is going to fucking hell.
It's supposed to be informative, entertaining. What part of that have we not hit yet today?
I never expected hear the question, do you think you can make a dildo out of vibranium?
Do you?
Come on. It's Gwyneth. We're talking about a series that featured Gwyneth like Paltrow in the movie adaptations, and she tried to sell dildos made out of porous rock.
Yeah, but it'd be like getting fisted by Wolverine, right? You know, it's just like, woo!
And then you're dead.
Yeah, okay.
It's all good until you hear schnick.
Yeah, just ruin it for us. Just ruin it for us. Okay, what we're talking about? What's Sergeant Fury?
Sergeant Fury and his Howard Commandos number 27. This one is titled Fury Fights Alone. Stanley writes the stickers on art. John Tertiglione on inks. Stickers and Tertiglione on cover. And letters
Come
by
on,
Samers.
Dan, don't you want to read a comic about a flurkin?
December 1965.
Well, I love cats, but flurkins, man, just had my fill of them. I saw Miss Marvel. Okay, to whatever the fuck it was called, the Marvelous.
The Marvels.
I enjoyed them in the Marvels. Film. It pissed me off in Captain Marvel when they used it as an excuse for Fury's eye.
Yeah, it was pretty lame.
Bill's jokes are coming because this issue is all about learning why Fury's only got one eye. We finally got there.
I'm restraining myself. I really am.
Fury and his commandos are airdrop.
Why Fury walks so funny?
Fury and his commandos are airdropped in Germany. Their mission is to destroy a new Nazi weapon that produces a beam of light that would cause Allied aircraft to fail and drop out of the sky. As they land, they are spotted by a group. of Nazis, yet they manage to capture their field officer. Fury forces the prisoner to order his men to activate the light beam so his commandos could blow it up. Although they succeed in destroying the lamp, Fury's left eye is injured while trying to toss back a grenade. He provides cover fire to allow the Howlers to escape and gets off the scene of the battle himself. Fleeing through the German countryside, Fury manages to get a disguise and has the incredible luck of happening into the Ferry Inn where
Weren't you going to research the next Sergeant Fury to the actual historical elements to show us up?
That was only for the last issue.
So just the one that has no actual historical elements. I gotcha.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Once it starts looking Mr. like Gorn. Actual work, we back out of the plan real quick.
Yeah, pretty much. I got a Python moment for you here, Bill.
I was just talking to that nice Mr. McGorry, and he said he can find planes that he can rent by the hour.
Hitler's second in command is discussing with Dr. August Strauss, the scientist who developed the anti-aircraft light. Fury overhears Strauss confessing that he did not commit the design for his invention to paper, as he trusted nobody with his technology. When Fury is discovered, he fights back and manages to escape by appealing to Strauss' disgruntled assistant Eric Koenig to side with him. Both Fury and Koenig manage to escape with Strauss as their prisoner, stealing one of Guerin's planes. They fly back to England and turn Strauss over to Captain Sawyer. Fury is then sent to the base doctor to have his eye examined. The physician determines that Fury's eye could be saved, but the operation would put him out of combat for an entire year. Fury refuses to do so, because he's an idiot, not wanting to leave the Howling Commandos. As an alternative, the doctor performed a temporary surgery that would save his eye, but warns him that it would eventually cost him his sight in his left eye at some undisclosed time in the future.
Conveniently, after he quits the CIA, but before he joins S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because his first appearance was with the CIA in 63, he still has both eyes.
And that's how Fury lost an eye.
So I didn't think I was going to need to do this. Hermann Göring was the actual historical chief of the Luftwaffe, the German Air Force.
Oh, wow.
No, but seriously, I love this comic. This was great.
This is, funnily enough, where Bull and I disagree in opposite directions of Sergeant Fury, because normally I'm the one that likes it more, but I liked it less than Bill this time. I only gave it a 3.
I gave it a 4. I really enjoyed this one. It wasn't just your normal Sergeant Fury story, like, he actually had to be sneaky and stuff. There was some funny moments in there, like when he tried to claim to be an Nazi imposter for Sergeant Fury, and that's why he looked so much like him. And he wasn't allowed to speak German because that was part of his cover to only speak English. And of course, the Nazis don't believe him. That was great. Eric was actually decently well handled, although I kind of wish he was already a member of Resistance. Instead of just got fed up with being talked down to in the moment. But I know where they're going with that character, so that was kind of cool how they introduced him.
I have nothing to say. Nothing to add to this conversation.
It was more interesting with them traveling around instead of just spending like 10 pages fighting in the same spot.
Uh-huh.
That's the part that kind of drags down most issues of Sergeant Fury, and they just didn't have that in this. So it felt more dynamic overall. And the explanation of Fury's eye, despite being comic science bullshit, actually does hold up to scrutiny and removes all the contradictions of what had happened in the past.
All right, one thing to say. Move on.
Tales of Suspense number 73A story.
My turn.
Titled My Life for Yours.
My Life for You.
Rory Thomas has taken over writing duties on this title. We've got Gene Colan on art, thankfully. Jack Abel on inks. Jack Abel,
oh, I hadn't noticed that. That's why these were so wordy.
Yeah.
Roy Thomas is notoriously wordy.
Sol Brodsky and Maurice Severin on letters. October 1965 release date, 12-page story. Dan will take this one away.
Alrighty. Let's go on with Tales of Suspense. Also known as, we'll come up with fucking anything to be a superhero just to get your attention. And continuing from last issue. After hearing that there are additional complications in Happy Hogan's recovery, after being injured during Iron Man's fight with Titanium Man, oh, that's original, the Golden Avenger pays a visit to the hospital where he's being treated, even though Senator Byrd has asked Tony Stank to appear before a Senate committee to reveal the secrets of Iron Man's armor. Arriving at the hospital, Iron Man learns that Hogan has been kidnapped, and he follows the clues to a castle which has been imported into the States from Europe and rebuilt. A historical note, that actually happened a number of times. A number of Americans imported castles from Europe. They had them dismantled stone by stone and rebuilt in the U.S. stone by stone.
Really? That's a real
thing.
Seems
like a lot of work.
That's a real thing. It's
because I was making fun of all these old comics for the number of times castles were dismantled stone by stone and moved to the U.S. to be rebuilt.
It's a real thing.
Okay, my mind's a little blown, and I feel bad for mocking some of the comics for that happened now.
No, it's look it up. It's an actual real thing.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, I didn't know Amazon existed back then to help with such
stuff. Stop interrupting, Ryan, or schnick. And I mean it, schnick.
Focus. We're not supposed to interrupt comic presentations.
Yeah, I don't know what you're on about.
Hey,
come on.
One might call him Schnick Fury.
Rude. Oh, God, tell me my jokes are bad. Okay, Iron Man soon learns that Harry's kidnapper is the Black Knight, who is seeking to get revenge on Iron Man.
You know who can play Black Knight really well?
Kit Harington?
Graham Chapman.
Ooh, Graham Chapman. Isn't he dead?
So is that Black Knight.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Sorry, so spoilers.
The chances of this being any good. Oh, they're dead. So the Black Knight's seeking revenge on Iron Man over an earlier defeat. Wow, what a memory. Fighting his opponent, Iron Man's armor soon runs low on power. And Iron Man is easily defeated by the Black Knight. Leaves Iron Man for dead in the castle. Iron Man struggles to find Happy. Look, Iron Man, you're never going to find happiness until you marry Pepper, who is still alive, but is still at great risk of death unless he gets the medical attention he needs. And we're done. It's over. Can we move on now? Give it a 3 and let's go.
Yeah, I did give it a 3, in fact.
Oh my God, you gave it a 3? I can't believe this.
I also gave it a 3.
Oh my God.
It's the first 3 we've awarded today, Dan.
No, well, mine isn't.
Yeah. Come on, Bill.
No, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying enough attention.
Yeah. Schnick.
Better than some of the previous Iron Mans recently.
We're starting to get really good continuity now in Iron Man. This is not one of the better ones of this run, but it's starting to actually...
It's got Black Knight, so it's got me.
Yeah, and the stories are starting to flow together more instead of just being villain of the week.
Never-ending sea of pain. Oh, anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of which...
Tales of Suspense number 74, A story. If this guilt be mine... Oh, apparently Stan took writing duties back for this issue. We got Gene Colan on art, Jack Abel on inks again. Apparently Jack did the cover because it's a Captain America cover. Artie Simic on letters, November 1965 release date, 12-page story. And Dan, taking it away again.
Okay. In the unlikely event you don't remember what I was just talking about, allow me to give you a flashback.
I wouldn't blame you.
Iron Man had been left for dead in an ancient castle by the Black Knight, who lured the Golden Avenger there by kidnapping his friend Happy Hogan, who had been getting treatment for a critical injury caused by the titanium man. Whew. Okay, that's a great way to start a review. Just, you know, relive everything in the last one so you have, you know, enough, your word count goes. With no option left, Iron Man attempts to contact somebody in his lab. Reaching Pepper Potts, see? I knew it. Who is looking for her boss, Tony Stark, following a confrontation with Senator Byrd over the revelation of Iron Man's secrets to a Senate committee. Oh my God, who wrote this? Yeah, give this to the guy with the bad lungs. Wow. Whew. Okay, hold on, I gotta take a deep breath to get through this next sentence. Holy shit.
Gotta get through a deep breath.
Yeah, oh boy. Oh boy. Coming to rescue Iron Man, she drives him back to Stark's lab, where the Iron Hero recharges his batteries before snubbing Senator Byrd on the phone and flying off to retrieve Happy from the castle. Christ. Returning him to the hospital, Iron Man loans a device called the Enervation Intensifier to treat Happy's injuries. What? Why didn't he just give it to them in the first place if he was so fucking worried about him? Oh, let's wait till he's on the edge of death and then I'll give you what you need to make him
Stark
healthy.
Doesn't want it to be used. That's part of the plot point.
Yeah, it has never been tested
on a human. Well,
then don't
give it
to them. He gave it to the hospital.
He gave it to the hospital for testing.
For them to run experiments on it, not involving human test subjects. And then they're like, well, this guy will die if we don't do it, so we'll just shove him under it. What's the worst that can happen?
The medical.
It's not like he's going to turn into some sort of freak or something.
The medical staff just take liberties and decide they're going to use it on a human being.
Everybody, I'm so sorry for, you know, energizing the two fanboys. Okay. I apologize.
It's an important plot point.
It's an irrelevant
piece of crap. The whole story needs it to make sense.
Yeah, because that's what's going to make this make sense. Instead of just healing him, the device changes him into a monstrous creature which is dubbed Ben Grimm. Oh, no, sorry, the Freak. No, the Disco Era. Okay, I'm with you. And goes on a rampage through the hospital all the way to the power station. Iron Man tracks the monster there. Why not say tracks his unfortunate friend Happy, who's no longer Happy. They're vowing to stop his friend even though his power is once again low. Dude, lithium batteries, okay? Come on.
I'm so glad when they finally stop doing the Iron Man is running out of power plot every story.
Yeah.
He eventually makes his suit so that it'll charge itself as it moves, and it makes no sense physically, but for a comic, I'm very happy that we're not constantly reading him looking for somewhere to plug in.
He's got that MCU Black Panther kinetic energy shit going on.
Yeah.
There's my explanation.
But yeah, this story was actually pretty good. I like that we barely saw him fighting a villain in it, and it was all just him trying to deal with stuff.
Yeah, and we left it the important part. Now Pepper's no longer in love with Tony and hates Tony, but now she's in love with Iron Man, who she hated before.
Oh, we can ignore that part because it never goes anywhere. As soon as Stan Lee stops writing this comic, that's completely forgotten.
This is fully a Stan Lee vision.
It's just Stan Lee forcing a love triangle because he always needs a love triangle. Fortunately, it doesn't detract much from the story.
Come on, give it your ratings.
Three. And moving on to issue 75, Tales of Suspense, the A story, titled The Fury of the Freak. And we've got the exact same team as last time, the summer 1965 release, day 12-page story. And Bill will take this one.
Uh-huh.
All right. Oh, I do want to mention for this whole run of Iron Man, one of the best elements of it is the Gene Colan art.
Yeah.
That definitely helps them get good rating.
Gene Colan rules.
These are beautiful comics.
Unlike the covers.
Yeah. When using the Enervation Intensifier device, in order to heal Happy Hogan of wounds inflicted on him by the Titanium Man, Iron Man accidentally transforms his friend and bodyguard into a horrible creature dubbed the Freak, which goes on a rampage. Well, actually, Iron Man did none of that this time. It was the hospital people that did it.
Yeah, this actually wasn't right. Tony's fault for once.
Every other time the Freak's created, pretty much it's Tony's fault, but not this time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, it's a recurring villain.
Kind of like the sentence, it never ends.
Yeah. Iron Man has tracked the creature to a nearby power station where the savage monster attacks the Golden Avenger and manages to beat him. Escaping to Stark Industries, the Freak stumbles upon Senator Byrd pressuring Pepper Potts to get Tony Stark to appear before a congressional hearing to reveal the secrets of the Iron Man armor for the sake of national security. The Freak easily knocks out the senator, and Pepper faints out of fright. The Freak then grabs the woman and tries to escape, but is forced to leave empty-handed when security and Iron Man arrive to try and stop him. Iron Man then chases after the Freak and tricks him into walking into a maximum power burst of the Enervation Intensifier. However, before Iron Man can escape, the Freak grabs hold of him, exposing Iron Man's armor to the ray as well, causing his armor to superheat and threaten to kill Tony Stark inside. And that's where this comic leaves off.
Dum-ba-ding. And we're done with that one.
Yeah, I zoned out for most of that, but that was yeah. That was the three. It's yeah, still it fast.
It was a three. The art's doing a pretty big carry job on this.
Yeah, that's the art in this one is beautiful, and it pushed it over the edge for the three for me. A lot of times the art's just kind of there, and it doesn't really matter as much, but this is one of those times where it does affect the quality of the comic for sure.
Yeah, Jack Abel inking Gene Colan is just beautiful. And it's too bad they don't credit the colorist on this because the colors are fantastic,
too. Oh, my God. Oh, dear. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at the next write-up. You're really going to want to take a deep breath.
Tales of Suspense number 76A story. Did Here lies hidden, the unspeakable Ultimo. What?
Mm-mm.
You're going to say, did we give it right?
Many run-on sentences.
The exact same theme again. January 1966 release date, so Happy New Year. 12-page story, and Bill will take this one away.
It's a run-on paragraph.
I didn't look at any of these when I gave them out, so...
No, I never look at them ahead of time. The reaction reading them is half the fun sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, just...
As Iron Man says, my luck held out. Another few seconds would have meant the end. The Enervation Intensifier, despite overloading and nearly cooking Tony Stark in his armor, does the job of reversing the transformation of Happy Hogan into the Freak.
Thank God for that.
Happy recovers to his normal physical state, but with amnesia. As Tony extracts himself from his energy-heated armor in relief that both Happy and he are alive from his desperate operation. Okay, that just ends there.
Yep.
Just a sentence fragment. Senator Byrd, I think that's supposed to be a comma, actually, because here's the second half of the sentence. Senator Byrd and his police escort track the last appearance of the Freak to the operation room. The police shatter the doors of the room of the Enervation Intensifier machine, where the transformation drama had just unfolded, and the sender orders the police to take Tony Stark into custody as he is holding a subpoena for testimony about Iron Man, and goes on to accuse Stark of having masterminded an attack on his person to top off his irresponsible playboy attitudes towards its serious national concerns.
Tony
Stark has no choice but to comply and leaves the disoriented Happy in the care of Pepper. As the police car that is carrying Stark and Byrd is zapped by a pursuant energy burst that dematerializes the moving vehicle for only an instant. Another sentence fragment there.
Yeah.
That instant, however, is all that is needed as Tony Stark is transported through a time-space continuum to the lair of the Mandarin. The Mandarin himself seems a bit surprised as he was expecting to have transported Iron Man, not Tony Stark, to his witness his latest plot unfold towards world conquest. The evil genius, however, contends himself that Iron Man's employer and the West's foremost arms inventor is there to see him unleash a behemoth of a creature called Ultimo upon the world. As Stark calculates how and when he will be able to use his attaché case containing his armor to become Iron Man, he finds himself stripped of the suspicious case as the Mandarin's power ring propels it out the window and into the castle's moat below.
Oh, no, whatever shall he do.
I need to catch my breath, so talk about this, Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan, come on, step up.
This is the weakest issue so far that we've covered.
Definitely.
By easy standards. This one, anticlimactic, and into the freak stuff, right into a mediocre start for some Mandarin action, into a mysteriously not promising start for whatever Ultimo is.
Yeah, the only good stuff in this comic was the Senator Byrd stuff and the art.
Literally. That was it for this one, was the art and Senator Byrd. Yeah, not very good. I gave this a 2 only.
It still squeaked out a 3 for me.
I'm shocked.
Well, mostly because while this one doesn't land too well, I appreciate that they're starting to do transitional issues like this. That's a pretty big step forward in the medium, that the actual stories flow together more instead of just being, okay, this story ends, hard stop, next issue we start a new story.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they transitional issues become better in the future.
Oh, yes, they get much better at it, but I just appreciated the fact that they're even attempting it.
Fair enough. We shall move on now to the last comic of the day. Don't celebrate too hard. Tales of Suspense number 77, A Story. This one's titled Ultimo Lives. Same team, yeah. I guess John Romita Sr. helped on the cover, apparently.
That's why the cover looks a little better than the usual ones.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. The covers have kind of sucked this week. This is the best one, probably. Sam Rosendahl letters, February 1966, release date, 12-page story. And Bill will finish this off.
Catch your breath, Bill.
All right. The Mandarin and his prisoner, Tony Stark, converse in his castle, and the Mandarin explains the construction of the giant android called Ultimo, born in a volcano. Tony here is playing for time, talking up the madman, and it nearly works as the Mandarin grows bored with his captive and thinks he has killed him off with a single blast from his power rings when he feels he must move on. This ruse, plus the armor plate on Stark's chest, allows Tony to slip away into the castle and to the moat where the Iron Man armor, in its attaché case, lays at its bottom. The moat's bottom, not the case's bottom. The Mandarin, for his part, is preoccupied by directing his android with the aid of a television monitor to attack the Red Chinese troops preparing to attack his fortress. Oh yes, that's a plot point that's been entirely omitted in these summaries. The Chinese came and basically tried to do the same thing that Senator Byrd's doing to Tony and make Mandarin reveal his secrets to the Chinese government and work with them for nationalist causes. And the Mandarin handled it only slightly more disrespectfully than Tony has so far by creating a giant android that is now trying to kill all the Chinese soldiers.
Well, that's nice.
I do enjoy the parallel between those two stories in this arc.
We like the Mandarin, though. He's a Liverpool fan, so.
The enormous Ultimo makes quick work of the troops as it is bulletproof, and apart from the strength to match its size, it also has the ability to shoot from its eyes lethal beams of energy. Tony Stark has no trouble finding the armor once free from the fortress and arrives on the scene of Ultimo's fight with the troops as Iron Man and comes under attack. Back to the U.S., Senator Byrd meets with his committee to order the shuttering of Stark Industries until such time as Tony Stark appears before them in the Capitol to answer their questions about Iron Man. Back in Red China, Iron Man seems at first to be agile enough to dodge his opponent's varied assaults, But the issue concludes with Iron Man caught in Ultimo's grasp. Tune in next time to actually finish the story.
I just hope that nobody causes a scene in the Capitol.
No, that'll never happen.
Well, we're past the January issue. Titanium Man totally won't rush the building.
Yeah.
And by saying that, you completely derailed me from making a finishing story joke that I was going to make about how maybe we won't finish it this year or next podcast. Maybe you'll have to wait till the summer.
Because people care.
So that was an immediate, a little bit of a lift up for me from the last one. I actually surprisingly liked Ultimo. I had no good expectations. Ultimo was actually fun.
Is probably the first good giant robot they've done.
Yeah, it was actually really fun. So that was a nice surprise. Pretty fun story, pretty good. I give this a 3.
I gave it a 3 as well. I liked that this was mostly a Tony-centric issue. My big complaint was they didn't show him ever getting the armor back. He just appeared as Iron Man. And they talked up how deep the moat was that it was thrown into. I kind of would have liked to see him actually have to get that armor back.
Yeah, this actually could have been expanded in every issue, I think, but they were missing some time with this one.
I think at this point they also weren't willing to do an entire Iron Man issue where you don't see Iron Man.
Yeah.
Because for it to be expanded, this whole issue would have had to be Tony, and it would have probably ended with him underwater, running out of air, trying to get the attaché case back to the surface.
Which would have been a great cliffhanger. But
it would have been, but I don't think they were willing to do an entire issue where he was just Tony.
Probably not. She's just about Iron Man. But anyways, yeah, pretty solid end to this week's group of comics. And on that note, next week, we'll bring us Tales of Suspense number 78, A Story, The Last Iron Man for a little bit. And then we will go and get our next Captain America story, which is issue 77 of Tales of Suspense B Story. Then we will get a couple
amazing...
Oh, that's
actually an interesting cap.
Yeah, it is. Then we got a couple amazing Spider-Man, for Dan, issues 34 and 35.
Yay.
And then to end the week off, we will get a couple of Sergeant Fury's issues 28 and 29.
Oh, what are these Furies?
Should be an interesting week next week.
Something with a firing squad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Baron Strucker. A two-part Baron Strucker issue.
Strucker?
Yeah, it's a two-parter.
I'm actually kind of glad Strucker's getting a two-parter. I haven't read these yet, obviously.
It's a very good two-parter.
At least they're not jobbing Strucker out again.
The other tease for it is also the end of Stan Lee's run on Sergeant Fury.
Darn.
That could be good or bad, depending on who the next writer is.
The first one's his last issue, and Roy Thomas immediately takes over for the second part of the two-parter.
Oh god, and Fury was already wordy. It took me a while to come to appreciate Roy Thomas. He has some good ideas, but man, that guy writes more words than Fury. It takes forever to read some of these comics.
Yeah.
So that gives me time to think about all the plot holes.
Sure does. Yep.
An easy comic that's late on the reading, you can just kind of breeze through and accept whatever they tell you, but when you have time to think about it, you start realizing all the problems.
I've no words. I give it a 3.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, if you're watching this on YouTube, please do like, subscribe, comment, even share if you'd like to. We are also available.
Tell us why you'd give this podcast a 3.
We're also available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And if you're listening on Spotify, click that poll. Let us know why you want to buy a model, why you want to buy the Fiber Model 1 when it comes in stock.
And it's good night for me. Oh, come on. Neither of you know the two Ronnies.
I know. Whatever you do.
Okay. Never mind.
We will see y'all later. And whatever you do, be careful of the schnick.
Schnick.
Have a good one, everyone.